Honoring veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler. Brought to you by this local station and its sponsors. And presented everywhere on the air and online by Paul Everett's RV Country. With 8 locations in 5 western states.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes, and a tribute today to the late Monty Irvin, a Baseball Hall of Famer and World War II veteran who passed away January 11th at the age of 96. This interview was recorded not long after the San Francisco Giants retired his number 20 in 2010. Upon his passing, Giants president and CEO Larry Baer said, "Monty was a true gentleman whose exceptional baseball talent was only surpassed by his character and kindness." I think the deeper we get into this interview, the more those qualities are going to become evident. And here's another quote for you from the one and only Willie Mays, considered by many to be the greatest all-around player in baseball history. "I lost someone I cared about and admired very, very much," Mays said. "Someone who was like a second father to me. Monty was the kind of guy that you had to be around to get to know. But once you became friends, he always had your back. You had a friend for life. Monty Irvin was a great left fielder. Monty Irvin was a great man. I will miss him." Again, those are the words of Willie Mays. We'll get back to the words of Monty Irvin in a moment, and he'll be discussing the shot heard round the world. Heard here in the voice of Russ Hodges.
Bobby hitting at 292. He's had a single and a double, and he drove in the Giants' first run with a long fly to center. Brooklyn leads at 4-2. Hartung down the line at third, not taking any chances. Lockton without too big of a lead at second, but he'll be running like the wind if Thompson hits one. Franco throws. There's a long shot! I can't be, I believe! The Giants run the pellet! 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 Bobby Thompson hits into the very back of the left field stand! The Giants run the pellet! And they're going crazy! They're going crazy!
Did you know that that game at the Polo Grounds on October 3rd, 1951 was the very first game ever televised nationally? And it ended like that with Bobby Thompson, who had served in the U.S. Army Air Corps in World War II, launching the shot heard round the world. It really was heard round the world. Even American servicemen fighting in the Korean War got to hear that call on Armed Forces radio on the other side of the globe. But we've been hearing from a man who was there to experience it all firsthand and be a major part of one of the greatest comeback stories of all time. A team that was 13 games back of the hated Brooklyn Dodgers came all the way back to win the National League pennant.
Mm-hmm. What kind of moment was that for you, Monty Irvin?
Paul, it was 13 and a half games in the middle of August. And it was one of the most memorable home runs ever hit in baseball. And lo and behold, Bob Thompson, who was not only was he my teammate, but he was a good friend, he just passed away about a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we all saluted him, of course, and hoped that he lives in peace forever. He was a wonderful person, and he really did. He put an extra $5,000 in our pockets for doing what he did.
That was a lot of money in 1951.
During that ninth inning, we're down 4-1, and I'm the only one that made it out in that rally. And I was hitting third, and Whitey Lockman behind me, he doubled. We were kind of a team. We just loved each other. We try to, with the man in front of you fail, you try to pick him up, and that's what Whitey did. And then they changed pitchers, took Don Newcomb out and brought in Ralph Branca. And then on the second pitch, Bobby hit that home run in the lower stand in left field. Now, guess what? Willie Mays was on deck in case, Bobby didn't come through. But but Bobby did, so he got me off the hook for making the only out, and he got Willie off the hook because he didn't have to come to the plate. And that was, I can still, you know, it's like it happened yesterday because it was such a wonderful moment. And then we calmly walk from home plate down to a clubhouse in center field, and people said, nice going, guys. Go get the Yankees tomorrow. So the World Series started the next day. We really didn't have a chance to really enjoy the moment.
Yeah, doesn't work that way anymore. They give you a little more space.
Yes.
And that did send you to the 51 World Series against the Yankees, and that is when the first all-African-American outfield. You and Hank Thompson had broken in with the Giants together in 49, and now you had this young guy you just talked about, Willie Mays.
Yeah.
All three of you in the outfield at the same time. Did that dawn on you? Was it significant at the time?
No. We weren't concerned with color. We were concerned with content.
Yep, and the Yankees.
It just happened to be that way. DeRozier put the best, the best group out there to catch the ball and to hit the ball, and we didn't think about it until somebody mentioned it to us.
And that was
that was our feeling at the time.
That was your best year in the big leagues. You led the National League in runs batted in that year. And in the World Series, you hit .458. And you stole home off Allie Reynolds. That had to be memorable.
Oh, yeah, I had done it five times that year. And the secret, of course, was to get a big lead off third base, take an extra foot or two. And he was taking a long time to deliver the ball home plate. So I saw that. And I whispered to Leo DeRocha, who was coaching third base. I said, Leo, I think I can make it. He said, well, get an extra step, take an extra step, and go ahead. And I slid in right right over Yogi Berra's tag. And when the umpire said, safe, Yogi said, no. I said, yeah, yo. He said, how do you know? I said, you'll see it tomorrow on the front page of the Daily News and the Daily Mirror. And sure enough, there it was.
And I bet every time you've seen Yogi since then, you've reminded him of that.
That's right. Yeah. He said, I hadn't seen him for about 25 years. I knew he was coaching and managing and so on. So we were on the Veterans Committee together, and I saw him when he came in. I said, Yogi, hey, come on over and have a cup of coffee with me. So he came over. You know what he said? He said, you were safe, money, and in 51. He said, but Jackie was out in 55. That's Yogi for you.
Absolutely. We could spend a whole hour talking about him.
That's true.
Now, you guys did not win the 1951 World Series.
Yeah, we had a bad break. Our best hitter was Don Mueller, a right fielder.
Yeah.
He sprained his ankle severely, sliding into third base. And then the Sunday that the Yankees didn't have a pitcher, it rained and gave Allie Reynolds an extra day's rest, and he came back to beat us. But we were still happy because we'd won the pennant. Nobody expected us to do that. It was just one of those things that we were hoping for, and it really happened.
Well, and 3 years later, you would get your moment, and everyone remembers the basket catch at the Polo Grounds that Mr. Mays had. And, I've heard that you looked at Willie Mays and saw yourself as a younger man.
Yeah, he was a fine youngster, a natural, of course. Couldn't teach him anything because he knew just about everything. He was a finished ball player already when he came to us. He was a diamond in the rough. All we had to do was kind of polish him up a little bit, and in a half a year he was polished. And of course, he had made that great catch. And on the way in, I said, after we got the other out, I said, Rumi, I didn't think you'd get there. He said, you kidding? He said, I had it all the way. I said, you did, huh?
Yeah. What when you guys finished that off and took care of the Indians and had that World Championship, did it mean as much as you thought it would?
Yeah, it meant a whole lot because we didn't quite make it in 51, but in 54 we had acquired Johnny Anelli and Dusty Rhodes and another pitcher, and so we were a complete team, and we knew that we could beat them because in spring training, they spring trained in Tucson, and we our training camp was in Phoenix, so we used to play each other all the time. So we knew that we could beat them. But if Willie hadn't made the catch, they might have beat us four in a row. I can safely say that.
I think Vic Wertz would certainly say that.
Yes, he would. That's true. Mm-hmm.
So you won the World Series in 54. Is it hard to believe now, 56 years later, as you watch the Giants in a pennant race again, that the Giants have not won another World Series since you guys did in 54?
That's true. They came close, but maybe this might be their year. They have great pitching. They still need a couple of power hitters. Maybe by next year they'll be able to sign somebody. But I'm rooting for them, and I hope they make it. Hope they can go all the way.
And, of course, they did. If you're just joining us, this is an interview with the late Monty Irvin, recorded in 2010. If we'd been able to tell him that the Giants were about to win it all 3 out of 5 years, I'm pretty sure he wouldn't have believed us. One thing that was very fresh in his mind was the Giants retiring as number 20 just a couple months earlier in a special ceremony at AT&T Park.
Well, it was a great honor. I'll always be eternally grateful for the Giants for what they did. My family and I, we flew out there, and they treated us royally for 3 or 4 days. Put us up in a wonderful hotel. We had a terrific luncheon. I got a chance to revisit with Mays and McCovey and Marichal and Cepeda and Gaylord Perry. They were there. So it was a happy time. And my daughter and the rest of my family said, we'll always go back. They call me Papa. We'll always go back even after you've gone. I said, please do.
And now they'll have the chance to live up to that promise after Monty Irvin's death January 11th at the age of 96. As of 1972, 25 years after Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier, there were only 5 African-American players in the Hall of Fame. The next year, Monty Irvin became number 6.
Yes.
In 1973 in Cooperstown, I imagine when you were playing as Jimmy Nelson,
yeah.
Or when you were overseas in a foxhole, not knowing if you'd ever see your wife or daughter again, mm-hmm. you couldn't have imagined having your face on a wall in the Baseball Hall of Fame. What did that mean to you, and what did you think of when you accepted that great honor?
Well, it meant everything, of course. Number one, it's something that I didn't expect. I didn't ever know of. A great thing like that would happen. But I told them that how grateful I was, how many thrills I've had and so on. But receiving that honor with the rest of those wonderful Hall of Famers sitting behind me meant everything in the world to me, and I told them that.
Now, you have a reputation around baseball as one of the classiest guys to ever play the game and someone who's real humble, and I think our listeners have picked up on that. And I absolutely love the title of your first book that you wrote a few years ago now, but, of course, your manager, the New York Giants, was famous for a quote that's been repeated
yep.
for years and years.
Yep. I told Leo, I said, you had it one way, Leo. I said, I'm going to do it the other way.
And he said, nice guys finish last.
Nice guys finish first.
So the title of your book is?
Nice guys finish first.
And what was the point behind that? What did you try to convey with that
message?
That
you can still be, Leo would do anything to win. I wanted to do the right thing and still win, leave a wonderful legacy, in winning and winning the right way.
When you look back now at everything you've been able to experience in 91 years, your time in the military, your time in baseball, certainly your mm-hmm. family and everything you've been blessed with, mm-hmm. is there one thing that you're most proud of that means the most to you that you want to be remembered for the most?
Well, I want to be remembered as someone who came up late, but did the very best I could do under very trying circumstances. I tried to make it better for those who came after me. I tried to show some class wherever I could. And more than anything else, my father told me, he said, Monty, all you have to do is treat people the way you want to be treated and live by the golden rule, and you'll be okay. So that's the legacy I'd like to leave.
Well, I don't think anybody could say it any better than that. I know that we've talked so much baseball in this time and not that much about your time in the military, mm-hmm. and for good reason. You had some pretty exciting things that you experienced in
You're
baseball.
You're so right.
Is there anything else about your time in the service that maybe a lesson you learned from that that you applied later on, or something that you carry with you today about the men that you served with and what they were all about?
Well, anyone that's still alive. I hope some of them are. We had to stick together on the very trying times, and we met some wonderful people. We tried to help them. We did what we were told to do, and we hope that somebody appreciated the effort that we made. That's what I want to say finally.
And did I interpret correctly when you talked about that you and other African American veterans of the war who came back felt like what you did overseas and what you proved in doing so had a big role in your access eventually to Major League Baseball?
Yeah. I think what we did helped the cause, and again, I think it made it a little easier. They realized if given a chance, we could do it just as good as anybody else.
Well, I think you said some wonderful things today. It's been a privilege sharing this time with you. Thanks so much for giving all that time. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with our audience?
Well, I just want to say hello to everybody and wish them the very best of luck. And remember, treat people the way you want to be treated.
Amen to that. Well,
okay,
Monty,
Paul,
thank you so much for serving our country, for making baseball proud, and get the Giants in the World Series for us if you can.
I hope so, yeah. And if they do win, I'm going out there.
Oh, we'll be looking for you then.
All right. Take care.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
And yes, of course, he did get to experience that and relish two more titles that followed. If he could add to that today, I'm sure he'd be reminding us it's an even year and his Giants get their turn again. What a gentleman, the late, great Monty Irvin. I have some more information up for you at hometownheroesradio.com, including a link where you can order that autobiography we talked about, Nice Guys Finish First. Monty Irvin has finished his race, and I'll be forever grateful that he shared a little piece of it with us. That's the program for today. Next time, I promise, the story of the Candy Bomber. I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you again that freedom is not free.